Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Ches. Mitzvah Shem will also try to do Lamed Tes Omud Aleph. We begin at the very last line of Lamed Zayin Omud Beis. Boy minei me Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The Talmidim asked of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba the following shaila. Shochach kideira al gabi kira. A person placed the pot on a kira on Erev Shabbos, and it didn't have grufo ketumah. So according to the opinion of the Chachamim, this is not allowed. Now, in this situation, he shouldn't have done this, but he did it. He forgot it there. He was planning maybe on taking it off before Shabbos started, but he forgot it there. Ubish lo b'Shabbos, and now it cooked on Shabbos. Mahu. What is the halacha? Are you allowed to eat this food on Shabbos or not? Now, technically, the person only did, he put it there on Erev Shabbos. He didn't actually do a malacha, but the rabbi said, we're concerned if you do it on Erev Shabbos, you come to do it on Shabbos, so you give me Shemo Yechate Gecholim, and therefore you're not allowed to go and do this. But he did it after the fact. What's the halacha? So they asked Rav Chiya this question, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ishtik v'lo amar luhu v'lo midi. At the beginning, he didn't say anything. The following day, he thought about it. L'mocha nofak dorish lo. He went out and he told all the Talmidim the next day, what's the halacha in regards to cooking on Shabbos itself? This was, again, Shehiyah. This is on Erev Shabbos. But he says, Hamavashal b'Shabbos v'shogeg, if somebody by accident cooked on Shabbos, he forgot it was Shabbos and he cooked something. So the halacha is yochal. You are allowed to eat that on Shabbos. However, b'mezin, if somebody b'feirish, they went and cooked on Shabbos, lo yochal. You're not allowed to go and eat that. It's not right to eat something like that. There are different opinions exactly what it means that it's also to eat. Is it only also for that person? Is it also for other people after Shabbos? Can other people eat it? Bottom line for right now, Rav Chiya said that if you did it on purpose, you're not allowed to go and eat it. If you did it by accident, then you are allowed to go and eat it. Velo shna. And he said, however, Rashi brings down over here, velo shna, aval hai deshochach kideira. There's a difference between somebody intentionally cooking on Shabbos, if he did it b'mezid or he did it b'shogeg, then there's a difference in the halacha. But he says, lo shna, there is no difference. The shochach kidera, it doesn't make any difference. Lo shna being shogeg l'mezid. It doesn't make any difference whether he forgot it there or he placed it there intentionally on Erev Shabbos on the kira. And then he says, v'lo shna, there's no difference over here, but we don't know what he means. My v'lo shna, the Gemara says, as Rashi points out over here, this lo shna over here could be learned in one of two ways. Lo pirish, I ashogeg midamela, is he comparing it to the shogeg, umutul ochla, and just like on Shabbos, if you did it by accident, you're allowed to eat it, or I amezid midamela, or is he comparing it to the bemezid, which is on Shabbos, is asula. So we don't know what he means by this shehi over here. So the Gemara says, my veloshna. What exactly does this mean? So we have two different opinions. We have Rabbi Rav Yosef, they say together, Dami Tavayu, let Teira. They learn this in the lenient way that it's like shogeg on Shabbos, just like a shogeg on Shabbos allowed to eat. So too, if you did it b'mezid or b'shogeg on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to eat it. And the reasoning is because when you're cooking something, you actually did a maisa with your hands. And that's why b'mezid lo yochal. The rabbis, so to say, punished you and said, you did something wrong. You in fact, did something wrong. You cooked on Shabbos on purpose. So therefore, that's why they said on Shabbos, if you did a b'mezid, you're not allowed to go and eat it. Aval hay de lo ka'ovid maisa. In our situation, what did you do wrong? You put it out there on a non-grufo k'tuma kira. You put it out there, no blech, on Erev Shabbos. There's no issue in doing that. And therefore, if you did it b'mezid, nami yochal. The rabbis didn't put it in the knas, so to say, that if you did it b'mezid, you shouldn't be allowed to eat it. Certainly, b'shogeg, you didn't do it on purpose. You could be allowed to eat it. But even b'mezid, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, they both said lehetera. On the other hand, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar li Yisuri, he says, no, you go l'chumro over here. Why? Because when you're dealing with mevashel on Shabbos, mevashel hu d'lo os li arume, nobody is going to say, oh, by accident I cooked it on Shabbos. Because they're doing an Issa D'Raisa. People weren't going to do an Issa D'Raisa. They took Shabbos very seriously. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that if somebody did it by accident, they really were wink-wink. They did it b'mezid, but they forgot they said and did it by accident. So nobody's going to do that. And therefore, b'shogeg yochal, you're allowed to go and eat it b'shogeg, because nobody is going to actually say that they did it b'shogeg when they did it b'mezid. However, I will hide the Osilia Sarume. Here, you know what? People are going to go and do shenanigans over here. They say, well, really, I'm allowed to do this. There's nothing wrong. I'm not doing an Issa by putting it on Erev Shabbos. I'll say I forgot it. When they really put it there on purpose. And therefore, the rabbis, according to the opinion of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, they went Isura. They were strict over here and said, whether you did it b'shogi or b'mezid, we're not going to let you benefit from it. As opposed to Rabbah and Rav Yosef, they said that since you didn't do any action, even b'mezid, we're going to let you do this. So that's the nafkamin over here. Rabbah and Rav Yosef say lahatera. In other words, if you did it b'mezid or b'shogi on Erev Shabbos, you did shahiyah on a non-grufal k'tumah kira, you're allowed to go and get benefit from it. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, no. Even if you did it b'shogeg, and certainly if you did it b'mezid, you're not allowed to go and get benefit from it. Again, putting this uncooked food, shehiyah, out on Erev Shabbos on a non-grufa k'tuma oven, on a kira. Gemara is going to question now the lenient opinion of Rabbah and Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, Meisvei, shochach kedera gabe kira, if a person forgot a kedera on a non-grufa k'tuma kira on Erev Shabbos, Ubishlo b'Shabbos, and now it cooks on Shabbos. Exactly our case. So b'shogig yochal, it says b'shogig you're allowed to eat it. B'mezid lo yachol, but b'mezid you're not allowed to eat it. Now, this doesn't seem to go like either of the two opinions because it doesn't say the same thing for shogig and mezid. So therefore, b'medvar mamur, what are we talking about? This is only b'chamin, only with hot water. Shluhuchma kol tzorchon. This is only with hot water that wasn't made hot. B'sav shul shlo bishel kol tzorcho, or a dish that wasn't yet cooked. However, if it was hot water that was fully heated up, or was a dish that was fully cooked when Shabbos started, then the rabbis didn't institute any sort of a knas over here, and they let you eat it, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda, however, says, Rav Yehuda Omer, chamin shehuchmu kol tzarkon, if the hot water was fully made hot, mutarim, that you're allowed to do. The rabbis didn't institute a knas over here. Why? Because hot water never does well when you continue heating it up. It's going to evaporate. You're going to boil it out. Therefore, the rabbis didn't make any additional kanas over here or gzera. However, but if it's a dish that was fully cooked, now also the rabbis said that if you put it out there on a non-grufa k'tuma kira on Erev Shabbos, we are in fact going to make it osur. Why? Because the additional cooking will be beneficial and you'll get a benefit from it. The chol mitzdamik v'yavlo, and anybody that is cooking something that will get better when it's longer on the fire, for example, could grow in kruv, like cabbage, or pulin, or various types of beans, or basar toruf, or finely chopped up meat, it like disintegrates from the additional cooking. All of these things are aser to put them on Erev Shabbos, on a non-grufa uktuma kira. But the chol mitzdamik v'ralo mutter. But if it was get worse by the additional cooking, then even if it was on a non-grufa k'tuma kira, you'd be allowed to use it. Okay, that's what the Braisa says. Now let's see how this is a problem for Rabbah and Rav Yosef. K'tani mia, we said over here, tavshil shelo bishel kol tzarko. If you're dealing over here with a dish that wasn't fully cooked, there we brought down there was a distinction between mishogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. Now, Rav Chiya bar Abba, he told us that there is no such a distinction over here. So, Bishlam Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Lokash, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who says that they're both Le'isura, so how does he explain that it says in this Braisa that there is a distinction between Shogeg and Mezid, and he says there's no distinction between Shogeg and Mezid? It's not a problem. Kan Kodem Gzera, Kan Le'achas here. Originally the din was, if you put it there b'mezid, you weren't allowed to get benefit on Shabbos. If you put it there b'shogeg, you were allowed to. The rabbi said, people all of a sudden saying, when they did it b'mezid, that they really did it b'shogeg, so the rabbis made a knas. So originally, kan kol d'gzera, that which we said that there's a difference between shogeg and mezid, this brisa that we brought down is before the gzera, and our brisa from Chiya bar Abba tells us that that was after the gzera. So great, Rav Nachman Yitzchak has no problem. El Rabbi Rav Yosef, they say that both the mezid and shogeg is okay. So he called the gzera. It was before the gzera. Kasha mezid. So why is mezid no good? And he le'acha gzera. So kasha nami shogeg. So then why is shogeg good? So Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they got a problem. And the Gemara says, kasha, taka, you have a kasha over here. Now, whatever the Gemara says tiyufta, it usually means, even there, it's not 100% that we've slugged them up. When it says kasha, the Gemara, just for whatever the reason, didn't feel like going further into this discussion. It's a kasha, but it's not something that is absolutely going to slug up the opinion of the person that the kasha is against. Now, what exactly was this gzera? My gzeros over here. So the Gemara says, "The Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav." Again, we always go through the names of all these people because it's Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, maybe Gulli Omer. We always want to say who said what, because this way, first of all, it shows us that this really was a true transmission of Torah, and also we like to give credit to the appropriate people. In any event, this was eventually said in the name of Rav, that B'Tchilo Hayu Omrim, we had our Brisa that said, that Rav Chiya Bar Abba said, HaMavashal B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yocha B'Mezel Yocha. Originally, the din was that if you cooked something on Shabbos and you did it by accident, so the rabbis didn't put in a knas, you're allowed to eat it, yocha. The mezid, however, they said, lo yocha. They said, we don't want anybody benefiting from your doing an issa daraisa on Shabbos. And they said, v'hu adin l'shochech. The same thing would be if on Erev Shabbos, if somebody put out food on a non-grufo k'tuma kira, that the same thing should apply. But mezid, we don't let you get benefit from it, but b'shogi, we do. But then the knas comes along, the gzera comes along, mishirabu, mashin, b'mezid. Many people said, well, I really don't have time to cook everything before Shabbos. I just put it up there on Erev Shabbos, and I'll say I forgot. And therefore, it'll be okay to eat it, no problem. B'mezid, therefore, they'll really put it up there, b'mezid, v'omer shcheichem anu, and they'll say that we did it by accident. In order to get around this, the rabbi said, chasu v'kansu ala shochech. So the rabbi said, even if you did it b'shogeg, you forgot, we're still going to cancel you. So this will get rid of all the tricky guys that did it b'mezid, but claim that they did it b'shogeg, because now b'shogeg won't help them at all. Now the Gemara says, that which we explained over here is actually going to be a kasha. Kasha the Rameyah the Rameyah, and kasha the Rav Yehuda the Rav Yehuda. Look in Rashi over here. Kasha the Rameyah the Rameyah. He says, that Tna Le'el B'Reish Pirkin. We learned earlier in the beginning of the Perek. Le Rav Meir, Alibo de Beis Hillel. He said, Chamin Avolo Tavshil. There he said, you're only allowed to put up Chamin, but not a Tavshil. Here he says that you're allowed to go and put up chamin or a tavshil as long as it was fully done. So that's the stira in Rav Meir. And the stira in Rav Yehuda, kasha the view of the Rav Yehuda, Rashi continues, the awesome Rav Yehuda, early in the parak we had, he said chamin v'tavshil, but here, v'och also tavshil, should be shul kol tzarcho. Here he says the opposite. So what's going on? So we're going to reconcile each of them. The Rav Meir, the Rav Lokasha. Rav Meir is not internally inconsistent with Rav Meir. It's the same Rav Meir, so he has to say the same thing. He can't be arguing with himself. One case, halachatchilo had b'di'evad. Rav Meir originally said that you're not allowed to go and leave the dish that was totally cooked on a non-grufo k'tuma kira on Erev Shabbos. But if you did, okay, b'di'evad was okay. So therefore, that's the distinction. The first opinion where he says you shouldn't do it, that's the chachila. Second opinion says, okay, we'll let you have it, that's b'di'evit. So therefore, there's no stira. One is talking l'chachila, one is talking b'di'evit. And likewise, the Rabbi Yehuda, Adi Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Lo Kasha, the two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda aren't contradictory also. They're talking about two different scenarios. Kam b'grufo k'tuma, where he says you're allowed to do this for everything, is when it has a blech on it, it's grufo k'tuma. And where he says it's not allowed, kam b'shena grufo k'tuma. So again, there's no stira between Rav Meir and Rav Meir. They're talking about different scenarios. One l'chachil, one b'di'evit. And there's no stira in Rabbi Yehuda. One is talking about an oven, a kira, that is grufo k'tuma, and one is talking about where it's not. Therefore, there's no problems. The answer in the base medrash Shibaylu, Avar Vishia Mai, if a person didn't do what he's supposed to do. You're not supposed to be said, go and leave on a kira that's not Gerufa Uktuma. You're not supposed to put a pot on that. You shouldn't put a ketera on it. So the question is, Mikan Surah Baran Alo, did the rabbis institute a knas here or not? Now, this is very problematic because isn't that what we just were discussing? The rabbis made a knas. So the way Tosus understands this, and you can look at the end of the Tosus, Ovar Vishio Mai, so he brings down the very last line, Baomi Rashpa, the Kodim Zera Bo, that this question was asked before the Zera. They called him Zera Bo, the Achak Zera Pshita, the Osu Bishogi Kamo Mezit, because the whole Zera was afterwards that we make Shogeg Otu Mezit. So the way the Rashba understands this in Tosos is that we're talking here before the whole Zera was started. Again, it's a little bit problematic because that's not seems to be the flow of the Gemara. Tosos gives other Terutzim in the first part of the Tosos, other Rishonim give different Terutzim, but we'll keep it nice and simple and say this was all before the Zera. In any event, that was the question. Is there a Zera or is there not a Zera over here? Is there a Knas or is there not a Knas? So where it says Toshma, let's learn from the following. When Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipori, he saw that they had put out water on top of a kira that wasn't grufa k'tuma, and he didn't say boo, below asalan. He didn't say you're not allowed to do it. However, there were eggs over here that were mitsumakos, that usually means like shrunken or shriveled. In other words, they had been cooking for a while on this oven, And these, he said, the osa lehen. They were on the kira, and nevertheless, he said, these are osa. So the water, he said, was allowed, but the eggs that had been overcooked over here, he said that they were not allowed. Why? Why should there be a difference between water and the eggs? So Rashi explains, basim osar dimitstamik viyopolo, because here the extra time that it spent on the oven made it better. The water, as we pointed out previously, it's mistamik viralo. So that's why he said that the water was not a problem and the eggs were a problem. Now, the Gemara says, my lovely also Shabbos, this means when he says that it's also lehem, doesn't it mean he didn't let them eat it that Shabbos? And now this was done bishogeg, so therefore we see that bishogeg, they made the knas just like by mezid. Where it says, lav dafka, lo, l'shabbos habba. In fact, that Shabbos, he would allow them to eat it. It says, next week, he said, you better not do this again. So it was l'shabbos habba. As Rashi says over here, osron aleim b'achila, if they did it next week. So, b'achila sharu, so we don't have a riot. Tosus points out, again, we're talking over here, this entire sugya is b'she'enu grufa k'tuma, like I've been saying all along. Because if it's b'grufa, leka shum amora, the osar. Everybody says if it's grufa k'tuma, you're allowed to do shahiyah. So therefore, the entire discussion, this shahiyah today so far, has always been when it wasn't grufa k'tuma. Now, by the way, the Gemara says, Mechal debates in mitzumakos, mitzdamkos v'yofelen ninu. We see clearly from what we said that the water is mitzdamik v'ralo, but debates him are mitzdamik v'yofelo. How do we know that? The Gemara says, yeah, that's true. It is in fact, mitzdamik v'yofelo. How do we know this? The Omer Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Pamachas nisarachti ani v'rebi l'mokum echad. One time, Rav Chama Bar Chanina said, I and Rebbe, Rav Yudan Nasi, we went to a certain place, v'yavil ufaneinu beitzim mitzumakos kiuzardin, and they brought us these overcooked eggs, these beitzim, they were so small, they had shrunken so much because of the cooking, that they were the size of a zardin. Rashi says, they shrank so much, achinasu dakos, they were small like uzardin. He gives us a foreign word for this, which is normally translated as sorb apples. And he says, umid omar biyochalnu harbe, the fact they said they ate a lot of them, it must be michlal diyofel lehen. So obviously you see, v'chal mehim harbe, it meant that they were very good and tasty, therefore mitzdamik viyofelo. Mar continues by quoting our Mishnah. It says, Beisil omrim af machziri. Beisil says, you're allowed to do chazora. What are we talking about? Omer Rav Sheshe says, we turn to the Omer days. L'divrei Omer, according to the opinion that says, machzirin. So according to the opinion that says that you're allowed to do chazora over here, so afilu b'shabbos. It means you're even allowed to do chazora on Shabbos. What does it mean that you're allowed to do Chazor Shabbos? When we said Machzirin, of course it means on Shabbos. So the Mefarshim point out over here that the difference is when you're doing it on Friday night, so it's clear that you're going to be putting it back. But when you're doing it on Shabbos after lunch, it's not clear that you're putting it back. So the Chiddush of Beis Hillel is that you're even allowed to be Machzirin when it's not clear that you're going to put it back. As Rashi says over here, B'yom HaMocharas, for the next day, V'lo tema pluksayu mishachoshcha v'hasu v'dushar mishum demuchcha milsa adaiti da'aduri l'tzorich mochar. So therefore, shock your leg. That's why he took it off. When you're taking it off on Friday night, you know you're leaving it there for Shabbos morning as well. So therefore, when you put it back on Friday night, it's clear that you're doing it for Shabbos. But when you take it off after Shabbos lunch, who says you're going to put it back on? So therefore, it's not clear. So it's not clear that you're doing this. Therefore, the chiddush is that Beis Hillel says you're allowed to do it. And Rav Oshaya says the same thing. This chiddush over here is also Rav Oshaya's chiddush. And he says, Rav Oshaya, one time we were standing above. Either he was sitting down and they were standing above him, or that means that they were standing before him, like we had previously, and they were standing in front of the great Ruchia Rabba. They brought to him an urn of hot water. They took it midiyuta hatachtona ledyuto aliona. They took it from the ground floor, they took it up to the top floor. In other words, they removed it from that fire, and it wasn't clear that they were going to bring it back to that fire, because they went to a totally different floor. And what did he do? Rav Chiya took it. They filled up his wine with him. They used to dilute their wine with water, hot water, or some even cold water. But here they diluted it with hot water. And then they brought it back downstairs. And he didn't say boo. He didn't say you're not allowed to do that. So when they took it off of the low one, it wasn't clear because they went upstairs that they were going to bring it back to the low one. That's like taking it off on Shabbos lunch, and it's not clear that you're going to go put it back. So just like Rav Oshaya allowed that over here, he saw that Rav Chiya Rabba allowed it, so too, it's the same exact situation when you take it off on Shabbos in the afternoon, that you can put it back if that was what you wanted to do. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Tadai. Now there's some rules of Chazara. These are rules brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and they're very important rules. When you're taking something off, it has to be that it hasn't left your hand. It should still be in your hand, otherwise the Chazara, so to say, is ruined. You've essentially nullified your intention to return it if you don't keep on holding on to it in your hand. Also, if you put it on the ground, in other words, you let it go, so then it's also. This is the first version that we have, Rav Zrika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Tadai. Rav Ami disagrees. Amar Rav Ami, Rav Tadai, the Abba, the Garmehu, the Abba. When Rav Tadai said this over here, it was only because that was his Shita. It's nobody else's Shita. He's doing it, so to say, for his own benefit. Elohachi, Amar Rabbi Chia, Amar Rav Yochanan. In fact, Elohachi is according to Rav Chia, Amar Yochanan. As long as you intended to put it back, if you put it down on the ground to rest, it was too heavy for you, so you put the heavy chalon pot down on the ground, no problem. So again, according to Rav Tadai, it is a problem, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's not a problem. We similarly have the same machlokas, Pligibor, Rav Dimi, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. They had the same exact machlokas. V'tarvayu mishmed Rabbi Elazar Amre, and they both said it over the name of Rabbi Elazar. What do they say? They had a difference of opinion. Chadamar odom biyodo mutter, agabi karko asur. One said, if it's in your hand, then it's allowed, but if you put it on the ground, it's no good. That's exactly Rav Tadai. And the other one said, V'chadamar hinichon agabi karko nami mutter. He said, even if you put it down on the ground, it's perfectly good. That's like the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So we have these two sets of Amorayim that disagree. Gemara says, Amar Chizkiya Mishmei De'Abaye, Chizkiya said Neim Abaye, that which we said, Hodi Amris, Odon Biyado Mutter, that which you said, if it's still holding on in your hand, then it's allowed to have Chazara, to put it back on the Kira. We only said that, Lo Amor, Allah Shaddai to Lahasir, if you intended to return it, I will Ein Dai to Lahasir, also, but if you didn't intend to return it, despite the fact that it's still in your hand, you're not allowed to do Chazara. That implies, Miklal, Yal Gabe Karka, this is even stricter. So therefore, if it's in your hand and you have daitul hachzir, it's okay to be do chazara. If it's your hand and you didn't have daitul hachzir, then you can't do chazara. And certainly, if you put it on the ground, even if we had daitul hachzir, you're not allowed to go return it. That's the first version. Alternatively, Ika the Amre, we had another version of what Rechizkiya said in the name of Abaye. Amar Chizkiya Mishmei De'Abaye. That which we said, Hodi Amris, Agabe Karka Osir, he said that if you put it down on the ground, it's Osir, that's only it's Osir, Lo Amor, and Elo She'en, Dai Tola Hachzir, if you didn't intend to put it back. But if you put it down on the ground, I will Dai Tola Hachzir Mutter. If you intended to put it back, even though you put it on the ground, you wanted to do Chazara, so then putting it on the ground doesn't ruin it. And certainly, Michlau Sheba'odu Biyado, if it's still in your hand, Afa Pishen Dai Tola Hachzir Mutter. If it's in your hand, we don't really care, even if you had no intention of putting it back, but now you change your mind, as long as you're still holding on to it, it always can be put back. So again, two diametrically opposite versions over here. Gemara continues and says, Boy, Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah said, other situations of Chazara, we had talking about if it's still in your hand, you have Kavanah to put it back, it's on the ground, you did or you didn't have Kavanah to put it back. What about the following case, Rav Yirmiyah? Rav Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for asking these types of questions. Tulon b'makel mahu. He said, what about if you hang the pot up over here on some sort of a hook? So is that going to be considered that you're still holding on to it, or is that like on the ground? Likewise, hinichon agabi mita. You put it down, not on the ground, you put it down on a bed. They used to have beds. They used to lie on couches or beds by the table. So you put it down on that bed, but not on the ground. So is that considered like still odom miyodo, or is that considered like karka? Similarly, by Rav Ashi, similarly, pinon me mecham le mecham mahu. You took, let's say, water from one urn, and you wanted to return it to another urn. Are you allowed to do that? Do we say that this is the same thing? You had chazara, what difference does it make which urn you put it back into? Or do we say, no, if you put it back into the same urn, it's okay. But if you put it back into another urn, it would not be okay. And the Gemara answers all of these questions with a teiku. In other words, we don't give an answer. Tish b'yatar, it's kushas v'yabayos. We don't know what the answer is to the two questions of Rav Yirmiyah or to the question of Rav Ashi. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Until now, in this Perek, in Perek Kira, we've been talking about a Kira. A Kira, we said, is a two-pot stove. It is somewhat a rectangular shape, so the air, the heat, gets to be dispersed, and there's two openings on the top, so the heat isn't retained inside. It's not that hot. But we said a tanur is more flat and wide at the bottom, and it narrows towards the top. So it retains the heat much better. And a kupach, which is also a smaller type of an oven, but it only has one opening at the top. One pot can be put on it, so it retains the heat better as well. So in the order to retain the heat, the tanner is the most, the kupach is the next most, and the kira is the least one that retains the heat. That's why we have some coolers in regards to a kira that we don't have in regards to a tanner or a kupach. And that's what the Mishnah tells us now. Tanner shisi kub kash v'gvava. Remember, we had previously the kash v'gvava. The kash, we said, was the tail upper part, which is waste, and the gvava is the part that really stays attached to the ground, and it is both of these, the straw and the stubble, as they're called, are perfectly good firewood. And therefore, if you heat them up, but they're not the most flammable, they're not the hottest types of firewood, so if you use them to heat up the tanur, so then the Mishnah tells us, tanur shisiku bekashu begvava, lo yitein be mitocho be miagabav. Now I go put on Erev Shabbos over here the dish that you're cooking, not on the top and certainly not inside of it. And the reason is because it's too hot. And you may come, because this is a tanner, even though it's kash and gavava, as opposed to the kira, which we're not concerned because it won't be hot enough. Here we're concerned it's hot enough. You may come to adjust it and do something to it. Likewise, kupach, shisiku b'kash and gavara, hareza kikirayim. A kupach, however, we treat like a kirayim, that you would be allowed to go put kash or gavava. If you heat it up with kash and gavava, you'd be allowed to put something there, either shihiyah or chazara, depending on chananya or chacham. Begefes of the Eitzim, however, if you put Gefes in Eitzim, then it has the same halachic status as a Tanur, which the Gemara will now discuss exactly what that status is. Gemara starts off and says, Tanur Sisiku, you have a Tanur over here. We said, if you heat it up even Mikashu Gvav, you're not allowed to go put Mitocho or Bein Me'al Gabov. So Gemara says, Sovir Rav Yosef Lememar Tocho Tocho Mamish. Rav Yosef understood the Mishnah as being, when he said inside it, it meant inside it Mamish, inside this oven. Al gabav mamish, and we're saying you can't put it on top. It meant on top of the oven over here. But avol lismoch shaper domi. But we talked about yesterday share lismoch to put it next to this tanur. That would be allowed. We had this whole discussion yesterday share. We talked about that you could put next to a kira. So he's saying Rav Yosef said makes sense. You can put it next to a tanur as well. Abaye didn't like this. Esvi Abaye questions his Rebbe, Rav Yosef. He says, wait a second. Kupach says he kubakash ubigavava. In our Mishnah, we said a kupach harehu kikirayim. That has the same halachic status as a kirayim. Begefes uvi eitzim harehu kitanur. But it's like a tanur in regards to gefes and eitzim. So it's like a kira in regards to kashu gavava, and it's like a tanur in regards to gefes and eitzim. And therefore, it's also to go and put on this kupach if you have the gefes and eitzim as the firewood. Implication being, harbakira shari. But in akira, you would be allowed to. Now, the maiskin, what are we talking about? Ilay ma'al gabav, if we're talking about putting it on the top, is that true? Ubamai, what are we talking about then? Ilay ma'al b'sheinu gar for katam, if we're talking about that it didn't have grufa ketumah, so then the chacham say, you're not allowed to do that. El akira, ki ain't a grufa ketumah, al gabav mishari, you're not allowed to do that. According to Chanan, you wouldn't be allowed to do that if it was not cooked to Michael ben drosoy, and according to chacham, you're not allowed to do it unless it's grufa and ketumah. So therefore, if it's not talking about putting it inside it or on top of it, if it's not talking about that you can put it on the top, it must be el alav l'smoch. It must be that you're putting it next to it. Uktane harei uketana v'yosef. But by a tana, we said you're not allowed to do it. So therefore, how can you, Rav Yosef, if I ask his Rebbe, how can you say, Rav Yosef, that when it says you're not allowed to put it on the tana, it only meant on the inside or on top of it, but l'smoch shaper domi, here you see clearly, l'smoch is not allowed. Mor says, no. Amar avada v'rava, hocha b'kufach goru v'katum. The kupach is also goru v'katum. V'tanur gru v'ktuma askin. And the tanner is also gru v'ktuma. If everything is gru v'ktuma, then hareyu ketanur, when we say it's like a tanner, the av agav v'kor v'tot, v'goru v'katum, agab of osur. Even by a tanner, even though there is a blech, you're not allowed to do it, it's too hot. The b'kira ki gru v'ktuma shabadomi. As opposed to by the kira, it is allowed. And that's what we mean when we said we compare the kupach to a tanner, that even if it's grufa and ketumah, you're not allowed to do this. As opposed to by the kira, you would be allowed to. Now we have raya to Abaye, tanya kavosid Abaye. We have a braisa that supports what Abaye said. Again, Amoroyim didn't necessarily know every braisa. We often bring a braisa to support what the Amoris said. Tanner says he kubi kashu gvava. The braisa says, befavorished, if you heat it up, the tanner with kashu gvava, ain't some chlo. You're not allowed to do smicha next to it. Ain't sarchlo maragave. And you can't do smicha, you certainly can't put it on top. And you certainly, ain't sarchlo maragave. You can't certainly put it inside. It's going from the lesser heat adjacent to it to more heat on top of it and the most heat inside of it. Certainly, you can't do that. Ain't sarchlo maragave. And if you can't do it even with kashu gvava, alachas kama v'kama, can you do it with these much more highly flammable, hotter types of fuel like gefes and eitzen? But kupach shesiku b'kashiv gava, the kupach, we said, if you heated it up with the straw and the stubble, somchlo, you can go and put it next to it. However, now the gisa that we have is v'ein nosen, but the Gra says it should be even nosen agava, you can even put it on the top. But that's only with the stubble. That's only with the kashiv gava, the straw and the stubble. However, the gefes of the eitzim, the more hotter flammable fluids of items, fuel, ain't somchlo. Then you're not allowed to put it even against it, and certainly you can't put it on top or inside of it. Now, Amalei Ravacha Brei the Rav Ravashi, Hai Kupach Hei Kudomi. What exactly is the case over here with the Kupach? Ikikira Domi. If he's telling me it's like a Kira, I feel the gefes of Eitzim Nami. Then you should be allowed to do it even with the gefes of the Eitzim, as long as it's Grufa Ketuma. You can put it on the top. Ikitana Domi. And it's compared to a Taner, I feel the Kasha Gvav Nami Lo. You can't go and put food on it because it's a Taner. And the Kasha Gvav, we said, even the Kasha Gvav is too hot. So how do you get around that? So Amalei. So Ravashi says, we're talking here, Nafish Havle Midikira, Vizuta Havle Miditaner. No, this Kupach over here is a third category, like I explained originally. It's hotter than a Kira, but it's not as hot as a Taner. So it's an in-between state. So with Kash and Gvavo, it's one way, and Zefes and Eitzim, it's another way. What's the difference physically between a Kupach and a Kira? So I already told you the answer. This is where I got it from. The Gemara says, Hechi Domi Kupach, Hechi Domi Kira. What's a Kupach look like? What's a Kira look like? So I'm Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Kupach is Mokom Shvisas Keder Achas. It only has room for, like, for one burner. There's only one pot that can be put on it. And Kira, Mokom Shvisas Steak Teros. And a Kira, that's why it lets the heat out a little bit better. And it's not as hot. It has room for two Kederos in the top. There are two holes in the top, and therefore there's more air circulating, and the heat's going to go out faster. We know this from a Mishnah. What does it say? This Kira Shenechel Choli Orko Tahora. If you have a Kira, again, the Kira has two pot holes on the top. So if you destroy the Kira along its long axis, in other words, you break apart both of the two potholes, so you split the Kira into half over here. So now, in this situation, Kira Shenechel Choli Orko Tahora, it is no longer functional, and therefore it loses its status. Remember, the Kira we said was movable, so it's a Kli. It loses its status of being a Kli because it's now broken, and therefore, it's no longer Tummy. If it was Tummy beforehand, it's now going to be Torah, because when you break a Kli, it loses the Tumah. However, L'ruach Botmeh, if you split it in half, so you now have one of the burners, let's say, to the left, and one of the burners to the right. You didn't cut through both burners, but you cut the oven in half, so this Kira over here has one burner that's intact, and the other burner that's intact. The oven is split in half. So L'rachba, it still retains its status as a Kli, and therefore, Tumeya. As opposed to Kupach, Ben L'rachba, Ben L'rachba, it doesn't make a difference whether you split it along the length, you split it along the width. You broke it, because there's only one burner, so therefore, Tar. It's going to be Tar no matter what. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us over here, Ein nosdim beitza b'tzad ameicha mishul tishat skalgel. You're not going to go put a raw egg next to a mecham. A mecham is like an urn. We're heating up water that has heat. In order that it should roll. What does it mean that it should roll? So Rashi explains over here, that it should get cooked a little bit. A slightly soft-boiled egg will be able to roll. A raw egg will not roll. So he's saying you're not allowed to go put an egg next to the urn because the heat from the urn will go and make the raw egg into a soft-boiled egg and it will roll. And therefore, that's not because it will roll. That's just a feature of it. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this. And likewise, you're not allowed to take and crack an egg on a sudor, it's like a kerchief of some sort, and let it sit in the sun and make scrambled eggs in the sun like that. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Riosi Mati. Riosi says, no, the latter thing you're allowed to do. What's the machlokas over here? So this has to do with how we view solar heating. The Tanakhama says that even though solar heating is technically not an issa d'oraisa, here it looks too much like cooking. Rav Yossi says, no, it's clear that it's cooking from the sun, and therefore it's not, it's told us hachama, and therefore it's not told us eish, and therefore you're allowed to do this. Mishu continues, says, lo yatminenu b'chol ubi avak d'rochim b'shul shetitzola. You're not allowed to go and do insulation in the dirt or the sand of the road in order that it should heat up in that sand and become roasted. The Mishnah now brings down a story to corroborate this. Whenever you have Maisa Shoya, it usually means that's how we paskin. Maisa Shoya, so on Tveria. One time the people in Tveria did the following. Tveria is, of course, the hot springs of Tveria. They've used silon shel tzonen. They brought a pipe that would have cold water And they brought it, L'soch Am HaShulchan, and they had it run through the hot water springs over here on Shabbos. So what would happen? The cold water that was going through over here would get heated up. And the water in the springs, maybe it wasn't potable, but they wanted to have nice hot water. This was a great way to turn their cold water into hot water. Amalem Chacham, the Chacham said to them, if you did this on Shabbos, in B'Shabbos, Kechamim Shulchan B'Shabbos, no different than heating up water on Shabbos, which is awesome. And the rabbi said, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. You can't wash with it, and you can't even drink it. However, in B'yantif, on Yantif, you're allowed to go cook. So if you did this on Yantif, it's no different than any other water that you heated up on Yantif, which we have a gzeira, asurim b'ruchit, so we don't let you go and bathe with it. However, but you are allowed to drink it, because ochel nefesh, for the purposes of eating, cooking is allowed, heating up is allowed. Normally we allow, once it's mutter for one thing, it's mutter for other things, but the rabbis instituted a gzeira over here for rechitza. That's another gemara, another time. Gemara starts off and says now, Ibailuhu gilgel mai. What does it mean over here that they were magalgal the egg? They roasted the egg a little bit, as we said. What's the isra over here? So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, this is an isra deraisa of cooking on Shabbos. Gilgal chayiv chatas. This is a real isra deraisa. So what if you made a soft-boiled egg instead of a hard-boiled egg? You're not allowed to make a soft-boiled egg. And Amma Marbarid Ravina, Avanad Namitina. We learned the same thing as what Rav Yosef said. We turn to Lamites of an Aleph. And what did he say? Kol Sheba Bechamim Lifni Shabbos. If something was put into hot water before Shabbos started, so then on Shabbos, Shoranoso Bechamim Shabbos. You can continue even soaking it in hot water on Shabbos. Look in Rashi, the top Rashi, call maluach, something that's salty, that you want to like unsalt it a little bit. Shabbat b'chamim yer Shabbos, so you put it into hot water to make it less salty. So chosrin v'shorin oso b'chamim Shabbos, you can go and put more hot water on it on Shabbos. Ve'ein bo mishum tikkun shari niskan kvar. We don't consider that you're doing something to it that improves it, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, because you already had unsalted it, so to say, with the hot water from before Shabbos, and therefore you can put it in more hot water on Shabbos. That's not a problem. Likewise, b'chol shalo bo b'chamim milvei Shabbos, if you didn't unsalt it at all by putting it in hot water before Shabbos, so then medichin also b'chamim Shabbos, you're not allowed to soak it, but you can rinse it in hot water, because that's, as Rashi says, she'ein ze gemar melachto, that's not considered a final act, just rinsing it a little bit. However, I will show it. You can't go and soak it, because soaking it would in fact be the gemar melacha. So if you did the Gemar Melacha before Shabbos, then you can continue to do one on Shabbos. And if you didn't do it at all, then you can only do rinsing, but you can't do the Gemar Melacha. One exception, Chutz Ben Amaliach Yoshan, with a certain type of an old salted fish, or the Kulyos HaIspanin. Rashi says this is something called the tunina. I don't know if he means a tuna or not. Usually it's translated as mackerel. These types of fish, so you're not even allowed to do Hadach on them if you didn't do Hadacha or Shruya before Shabbos. If you didn't soak it or rinse it before Shabbos, then you're not even allowed to rinse them on Shabbos. Why? Because these two types of fish, this old salty fish and this Kuyas HaSpinon, Shadachosun Zuhi Gmar Melachta, because the rinsing is all that it needs. That's the Gmar Melachta. But the other types of salty foods, you have to really soak them to finish it off, to remove all the salt. But these, there's maybe not so much salt, whatever the reason, you only have to do a little bit of Hadacha, of rinsing, so therefore you're not allowed to do it. Shmami no, we see from over here that if you just roast an egg, that is considered bishul on a daraisa level. Just like over here, the rinsing is considered something that's usur on a daraisa level. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'lo yav kiena bisudorim, we said you're not allowed to go and fry an egg on a hot kerchief, on a hot scarf, on a sudor. Shmuel says, wait a second, what's not? We learned in another Mishnah, which we're going to learn later in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta, it says, Nosin tav shaluso chabor b'shul she'ei shomer. You are allowed to go put a cooked food into a pit in order that it should be saved. It shouldn't get ruined, to preserve it in some way. Likewise, v'samayim ha'yofin, you're allowed to put good water in some sort of a container into bad water, b'royim b'shul she'ei tzanenu, in order that it should cool it off. You want to have cool water. V'yasatzonein b'chama, and likewise, you're allowed to go put cold water into the sun, b'shul she'ei chamu, should it heat it up. Now, le'mor Rav Yosi v'lo rabbonon, we just said that you're allowed to put the cold water in the sun, and our Mishnah said that only Rav Yosi allows you to go and fry an egg on the scarf over here. So let us say the Mishnah later in the Masechta is also only according to Rav Yosi and not according to the Rabbanon. So one says, not necessarily so. Amar Rav Nachman, no. Bechama, putting the cold water in the sun, dekuli amalo pligi, deshari. Everybody says that that's allowed. Why? So Rashi brings down in the Dibra Masl Deshari, the Ein Derech Bishula Bekach, because nobody cooks in the sun. V'chama b'ur lo michlefa. And therefore, if somebody sees you putting a cold glass of water out in the sun and it heats up, nobody's going to say, oh, he's heating up, he's cooking his water. Lo michlefa. Nobody's going to make the mistake and say, the sun, if I can do it in the sun, I can do it in the fire. The ligs are hot to hot. We don't find any reason to go and make a gzera. However, ki plige, where Rav Yossi and the Chachamim argue in our Mishnah, it's betoldo sachama. Here we're not talking about the sun, we're talking about the sudar. And now, Marsov HaGazrin and told us sachama, Atu told us or. People aren't going to know how a scarf got heated up, let's say. They don't know that, let's make it a frying pan instead of a scarf for our easy purposes. The frying pan was boiling hot sitting out in the sun. And now you put an egg into it, so you're going to see the egg cooking. They're not going to know that it was heated up in the sun. They could say, oh, it must have been taken right off the flame. So therefore, Ma'asovar, one opinion says, the Chachamim Gazrin told us Achama, Otu told us Ar. Since we don't let you obviously cook with fire, so we're not going to let you cook over here with this scarf, slash, I'll call it the frying pan, that came from the heat of the sun. So that's the Chachamim's opinion in our Mishnah. However, Ma'asovar, lo Gazrin, Rav Yossi says, no, there's no reason to make such a gzera. People will know the difference between the sun. They see the scarf cooking in the sun. They won't say, oh, you're allowed to cook with a scarf that's made from fire, that it heated up with fire. Then we said, likewise, don't bury the egg into the sand, that it should get hot and become a soft-boiled egg from being in the sand. Tamari says, Rav Yossi b'ha. How can Rav Yossi only argue on the case of the scarf? Why doesn't Rav Yossi argue on the case of the sand over here? So Tamari says, Rav Amar, Gzeir Shema Yakmin B'remetz. Rav Yossi would have let you do it if it was only a concern about the sun. He would have said, yeah, told those hachama is not a problem. But here, there's an additional problem that maybe you're going to say, if I can put it into the sand, I can also go and put it in remetz. Rashi explains it's remetz over here is some sort of a hot type of an ash, and somebody who sees you doing it, the man dechazde sovar, even according to Rav Yossi, michte, haile vishule, v'haile vishule, v'tavayu derechat mona. Mali remetz, mali chol. He's going to say, well, what is the difference between this remetz, this is like this flammable stuff, and the hot sand? Here Rav Yossi says, you know, taka, people are not going to see the difference between the two, and therefore, even here, Rav Yossi said it's not allowed. This actually has a tremendous practical halacha l'maisa nafkamina. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal brings down the how do we view a microwave, right? The modern technology of a microwave is not mentioned in the Gemara. So Rav Moshe says that a microwave looks like it's being cooked. When people put stuff in a microwave, that looks like cooking. No difference you put in the microwave, you put in the oven. That's exactly this thing over here. It doesn't make a difference when you put it into sand or you put it into chol or remetz. It looks like it's cooking, and therefore Moshe says that a microwave halachically is considered cooking. So Rabba's reasoning is because it looks like if you put it in the chol, it looks like it's you'll be allowed to do it with a remetz, so therefore we don't make any distinction between the two. Rav Yossi gives a different reason. Rav Yossi v'mar mei shemez is offered b'mekomo. Because you know what? When you're going to take the egg out of the sand, you're moving the muktzah sand. And therefore, that's why it's not allowed to be done. Is there a difference between these two reasons? Might be nayu. What's the difference between Rav Yossi's reasoning, which he said is muktzah, and Rabba's reasoning, which we said is shemo yatmin b'remetz? So he says, yeah, there's a difference. Yikub nayu offer tichoch, if it's very loose dirt over here. So according to Rav Yossi, who's concerned just moving the offer, no, you can slip it out very easily without moving the offer. But according to the sheet of Rabba, then it is still a problem because you could easily mistake the loose dirt over here, the loose chol, for remetz. The Gemara questions now Rav Yossi's opinion that we just said that you come to move the dirt. You're allowed to go and roast an egg on a rooftop that is hot from the sun. However, but you can't go and roast an egg on hot lime. Hot lime is coming from heated up by fire. So on the rooftop, it's toldos chama, and the lime is toldos esh. So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'man d'yom ha'gzera shema yakmin b'remetz, according to the opinion of Rabba, who says we make a concern over here with the chol to the remetz, so like l'migza, there's no reason over here to say that the egg on the roof is going to be mistaken over here for the egg in the ground. And therefore, that's why it's allowed to be done. Magal gom beitz ha'gabi roseach. However, Elaman the Yomar Nation Maze is offered Mikomo, according to Rav Yosef, who says the reason is because you may come to move the dirt, so then Ligzar, you should also say that there's dirt on the roof over here, and maybe you come to move it. Gemara says, no, stam gag, less be offered. No, there's no dirt up on the roof, and therefore it's purely just sitting out in the sun, and that's how it's cooking, not from the dirt that it's in, and there's no concern of that you may come to be mazes off or be makomo. Try again, the Gemara says, Toshma, Maisa Shasu Anshi Tveria. There once was, from our mission, the story where they did in Anshi Tveria, Heviu Silon Shot Sone, they brought a cold water pipe. The water was coming through in this pipe, and they put it in Lesoch Amashulchan Luchule. They went it through the hot water springs of Tveria. Now, I said in that situation that if it was on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go and both drink it or bathe in it, because it's like heating it up on Shabbos. And we said on Yontif, you could drink it, but you can't use it for heating. Now, according to Rabbo, who says over here, the concern is because you're going to make the mistake and think the chol and the remetz are the same, so to over here. Over here, it's the same thing. It looks like hatmana in the hot sand, and therefore, there's no difference between this and the case of the sand, according to Rabbah, says you aren't allowed to do this. Shema Yatmin Beremetz. Both of them are Atmana, Rashi says. The Damil Atmana. Shematmin Mayim Bemayim. You're putting the water in the water over here, or you're putting the egg in the sand. Elamandi Omet Nation Mazes offering him coma. But according to Rabbi Yosef, says the whole problem is you're moving the dirt over here. So then, Michael and Mema, what are you going to say over here? What dirt are you moving in the pipe going through the hot water springs? So it's a kasha on Rav Yosef. So Gemara says, no, not such a kasha. Misavris maisa tver yasevakai. Who said, when we brought down this maisa over here, it's going on the sefer, which is comparing it to the hot sand? No, areishakai. It's going back all the way to the beginning with the scarf. Lo yafkein and besudarim. We said that you're not allowed to go make a scrambled egg in a hot scarf. But Rav Yosef mate. And Rav Yosef said, you're allowed to. And then, v'hochi karmele rabbonu Rav Yosef. That's when the Rabbanu said to Rav Yosef, oh yeah, you think you're allowed to do that? Hamai said, Anshei Tveria, they told us Chamo. When they did this over here with the cold pipe running through the hot springs of Tveria, the Asrilu Rabbanu, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to do this. In other words, you're not allowed to use the told of the sun for the egg in the scarf, and you're not allowed to use the told of the sun, because the hot springs of Tveria come from the sun. Therefore, that's why they're analogous. And Kasha and Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, no, that's not right. That's not how the hot springs of Tveria get heated up. Amalu, how told us Urhu? You know how the hot springs of Tveria get heated up? They're coming from the Chofi Apischo, the Gehenim. They're passing, their origins are passing right by the opening to Gehenim. Gehenim is very, very hot. It says that the sun is 1/60th of Gehenim. So you can imagine how hot Gehenim is. And therefore, in this situation, he says, this is not Toldo Sachama, this is Toldo Sha'esh. And that's why it's no good over here with the hot springs. But by the egg cooking in the scarf, that's Toldo Sachama, and that is allowed. With that, we conclude today's shir.